most about this is a single-family home as opposed to multiple houses on that lot. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous house in a great area. So many people turn down there, and they're going to see what that is all about in the future. And to, it makes it, living in Ventnor, proud to see structures like this going up instead of just cookie cutter homes that could go up. I did like the fact that he has a family that eats together. It reminded me of Blue Bloods on Friday nights. You know, the family gets together, and it's very, I go with my mother-in-law with that type of dinner arrangement once a week, and it's a really nice family thing. And thank you for doing it. And
thank you.
A favor, of course.
Thank you.
We're complete, Jeff.
Okay. Mr. D'Angelo, congratulations. You were about to become a citizen of Ventnor.
I'd like to thank all of you and look forward to becoming a resident.
Right.
And staying down here, moving towards full time. And one thing I'd love to say is I'd love to be the first one to make a large donation. Maybe we can get some flower pots down Ventnor. Maybe I'll be the first one to start a fundraising drive to do that. Because we love to keep beautifying Ventnor. And I think you guys are doing a great job to really, you know, bring it out.
I nominate Joe as the chairman of that committee.
Thank you all.
Here's what you wish for, Joe.
Everybody that comes asks me, how come they have flower pots down there? I said, I would love to put some in, and maybe we'll start that.
Okay.
Anything we can do to make it better than it is. It's a great town, and we're looking forward to becoming permanent residents.
And for the commissioners, Commissioner Landgraf, Commissioner Kriebel, I'll coordinate through Tim McGuire. Mm-hmm. Would that be okay?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, good night. Thanks.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah. When it's just a flat.
It will be.
Maybe you're going to do black and white.
Okay, board members.
It's been black and white.
The next thing on the agenda is we have to go over the compliance review of the ordinances that are going before, that had first reading and going before commission again. Mr. McLernan, please go over that with the board, please. And I will have to sign.
Does everybody have a copy?
Does everyone have a copy? If not, I made a copy.
We have
a copy. I don't have a copy.
Also, this evening with it, be sure that we do approve that I have the permission on the resolution to sign it tonight, so it can go before commission. So that'll be required. Okay, Roger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fortunately, I had this written in 2019, then COVID hit. But basically, I had to just rearrange the ordinance number. But proposed ordinance revisions, ordinance number 2020-021, Chapter 102, Development Regulations, Various Mechanical Residential Ordinances. Amendments to Section 102 by ordinance number 2021-021 are to provide zoning standards that are more practical with current zoning standards, and to clarify beachfront properties within the R1, R3, and R9 zoning districts. Some highlights of the revisions include revising height of accessory structures to be measured from adjacent grade rather than from a fixed elevation, allows and reaffirms decks with open gaps to not count as lot coverage, clarifies lot area calculations on beachfront lots, establishes a by-right subdivision committee to reduce costs and eliminate unnecessary time delays as permitted by MLUL, which is Municipal Land Use Law. Reestablishes the boardwalk as a right-of-way or a street front to eliminate the concern about interior lots having frontage. Establishes guidelines for accessory structures and requirements, including sheds. Establishes criteria and requirements for decks fronting the boardwalk and beachfront lots. Permits direct access from private properties to the boardwalk with conditions. Aligns the city's parking requirements with the parking requirements established in residential site improvement standards which is the basis for all off-street parking requirements in the state of New Jersey. The proposed amendments before you tonight reflect past variances granted for above-mentioned reasons and are consistent with the city's master plan, which are also being consistent with modern construction means and methods. The Board of Commissioners has introduced the ordinance on first reading at the October 14th, 2021 commission meeting. The city clerk shall provide a referral that the ordinance will be advertised according to law and shall be scheduled to have a second reading and public hearing on the next available commission meeting, which will be Thursday, October 28th, 2021. The municipal land use law provides the planning board with 35 days from the referral date to prepare, review, adopt, and transmit the consistent report regarding ordinance 2021-021 to the City Board of Commissioners. NJS 40:55D-26 describes the planning board's responsibility regarding the master plan consistency review as follows. The planning board shall make and transmit to the governing body within 35 days after referral a report including identification of any provisions in a proposed master or development regulation revision or amendments which are inconsistent with the master plan, a recommendation concerning those inconsistencies and any other matters as the board deems appropriate. And again, the master plan from 2016, I outlined and highlighted five sections of the master plan. Basically, I'm saying I have carefully reviewed and analyzed the proposed zoning changes in the master plan. Based on this review, it is my professional opinion that the proposed changes are consistent with the Ventnor Master City Master Plan. Let's type those out to fix here. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
So, board members, now we discussed this before. Roger has just gone over and has written this, and it said he endorses this whole thing as being consistent as a professional planner. So at this point, is there any discussion other than we go to a resolution and a vote?
I think it is, well, is it appropriate for us to even talk about it? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's common that anytime you have a plan.
Zoning boards do, zoning board, joint boards, so you look at the variances that you're granting all the time, and you try and eliminate that need to come to the board for variances that were granted. Granted, there are some, using the word granted too much. Some of the relief that comes in, we want to see. Like these third floor decks, we talked about keeping that limitation in the right. Ordinance. Because you want to see that. That's something that can be a problem in some cases. So you want to look at that each year and see, look, if you're granting front yard setbacks for 5 feet every time somebody comes in, you change your setbacks. I'm using that as an example. So I think that's what Roger's done here. I think that's what we've asked him as a planning board to do. And I think the ordinances are good as proposed. He did a more deep dive than I did into them, but I think that will help streamline some of the projects and open it up to what we saw tonight. I mean, that building really took advantage of some of the things that we're taking out of our restrictive ordinance, I think.
I'd say that was the fifth one this year that dormers have had a play where variances were required.
Right. And that was an ordinance we needed to redo.
And we're granting them most of the time because it looks good.
Yeah.
It's not causing any problems.
They make sense.
Where it was an issue, and we worked with Blake Barbuccio, his house on the bay, when it was straight wall, straight up, three stories up, and that was an issue. Because of a flat roof structure. We're seeing more pitched roofs and things like that, and those dormers, I think, can be attractively done.
Well, with the regulations that we changed about 2 years ago for flat roof buildings, where we required a third floor to be stepped in.
Right.
It makes a world of difference.
It does. It really does. So I think that's... We're making these ordinances where we're getting structures that are attractive. And Lorraine, you said it perfectly. You know, this building, that particular building, was designed for aesthetics, not to build it out. I think, Tim, you said the same thing. Not to the setbacks.
Right. It's not a subdivision.
Yeah.
The only thing, not to go off of that topic, the only thing on this, some of the highlights, and I remember having a conversation about it, and I was kind of on the fence about it, but I think the board was supportive of it, about having access directly onto the boardwalk from private properties. And I just, I don't know, I just didn't feel like that was a really good thing. We don't get very many requests for it anyway.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
And I just was trying, I wanted to refresh, like, the pros and the cons of that.
Yeah, I think we had someone ask about it. There's a couple right here, right by, I'm trying to think, it's Jeff Reich's house.
Well, I know there are some that have that.
And that's where people were asking to us, you know, for us about it. In most cases, the homes are going to be set back far enough where it's not going to be able to happen.
Right.
But there are some that have, you know, they're right up there. I mean, some of the conditions we put on it, the gates can't swing out.
Swing in, they have to be locked.
Swing in, they have to be locked.
They have to be reviewed.
The waves kind of, they step.
There's this step back, and they extended the boardwalk back towards them. But I think that had a lot to do with what structure was there before.
And I think also we discussed that many homeowners probably won't want it because they don't want public coming on their property.
I can understand why somebody wants access to the beach, like, if there's a way, well, we don't.
Then they would.
That's more of a mortgage thing, scratch that whole thought, you know, like steps to the beach, you know.
Well, they can go across the boardwalk now and then right to the beach instead of down the street and around.
But now, I just said, there's not that many, and I was just trying to remember the conversations that we had regarding that.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a big fan of that, but, you know, I'm telling them to make issue of it.
Well, the other side of the coin is that we have substantial properties, and people are paying significant amount of taxes as well. And everyone kind of has a prestige and kind of like, and it also builds the city up. Having an access is a desirable thing for our homeowners and an image for the city for doing that.
Do you really think that we should make not have to have a variance because it's an expensive property or something?
No, it's not. It's not that at all. It goes to the usage of the property and the image of the city. And having access to the boardwalk is a very desirable thing.
I think where it came up is some of the center properties.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's the middle property on the landmark piece.
Right.
That's where I think it's been coming up a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that more.
So if you take a number of properties in the city and you take out the ones that don't want it, then you take out the ones that aren't.
It's not going to be many.
The one that doesn't need it, then you're really just giving them an opportunity not to come in for a variance if one of those leftovers don't want. And again, I agree, it's not going to make or break the look of the city.
No, it's not.
But it's also probably not going to come up.
Too often, right.
And if that's the only variance, then they don't have to come in.
Right.
I've seen the variance process deter, you know, people from coming in to do a project where I said, look, you'll get it. But it's, you know, it costs, you know. When I did my house, I was able to do it myself. But if you come into this board for a variance, you're going to spend $10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, it's good to tweak it and, you know, show some mercy for sure.
Well, I think we've been working toward this for a long time because of, you know, prior, everything was downzoned for control purposes. We just kind of put a lot of restrictions on our ordinance. And now it's, you know, that's past us and we're moving to the future. And it eliminates a lot of extra expense for people. You know, makes it all.
I think that's the
prestige. User friendly. I think you have a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Roger did a nice job with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a lot of time and effort in it.
He puts a lot of time in every one of them. And a lot of reviews go back and forth before they ever get here.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate.
We are.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a
bad word. Right, Roger. Yeah, Roger. Roger has a pat on the back.
Let me tell you something. Well, it's easy when you really believe in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you believe in these commissioners and what they're doing.
Right.
And what this board's doing. I mean, I hear in Margate how great, now people love driving through Ventnor and seeing the architecture that they're seeing in Ventnor now.
Well, and Roman made that point, is that encourages people to have those houses at least to look like the St. Leonard's Church. This was a great example. It always took roof lines and always different dormers that you do see, like on the old Slay House or the houses and years ago. And if you look at, even if you look at some of the old houses, there were diverse architectural styles back then. There were people that wanted prairie style, and they did it in Ventnor. And And now we're just seeing different styles. We're seeing those hard-shaped moderns, maybe, but, you know, back 50 years from now, hopefully
we're creating an architectural base.
Seeing over flat roofs.
Buildings for the future.
They mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of them, but yeah, we're seeing more.
This is a good example. And that it didn't have so many houses, like around Winchester, where those three little houses are all stacked.
Right.
Little lot, this opens up, and you're right.
Oh, it's going to be lovely.
Turn that corner, like Mike said. They're going to see that house, and they're going to feel like they're in a little management.
I think Lance's comments were excellent comments. Your comments were good, because the board is progressing to being less restrictive, but having better ordinances to allow, and then allow freedom of design. And that's what's helping the community. And so if we can keep continuing that, we're getting our job done. But the idea is let's you know, getting the community just a little bit better.
You know, I got a really good compliment for you guys the other night, and I'm trying to think who gave it to me. I think it was, might have been Eric, or someone at his firm, that the way the planning board makes your comments and really puts your feeling and thoughts into most boards, yes. Next person, yes. Yes, no, whatever. No reasons. You know, coming from someone who needs those reasons, and Leo put this up there, and Roger too, you know, someone appeals, you need those reasons on the record,
right?
Because that's what the board members were thinking. So we got a really good compliment from you guys doing this stuff. And that's helpful to, first of all, the designers of it. They see where that they get their point across. And second of all, to the attorneys in the room saying, look, now I got a good resolution and a good record that this project, you know, they're all appealable, but you never want to see that. But that creates a record, and that's a good compliment to have, because one, it tells you guys are all paying attention and really looking at these projects. My worst nightmare coming in front of a board was watching somebody do this at the planning board and tear open the top of their thing that they haven't looked at the goddamn plans. Put a lot of time in those darn things, and then they're not even looking at them.
That's another thing.
So that, you guys do your homework, you know the projects, you know the city, you know, better than probably Tim and I. So, you know, the experience we have on the board is what I'm trying to say is noticed outside of just this little group here.
That's nice to hear.
I think we negotiate the appeal out of the application with intake.
Yeah, we're not afraid to ask for something.
And the neighbors come in, and they're happy.
And they hear it.
So it kind of mitigates any appeal process. When's the last time something was appealed?
A year ago. Actually, to be honest with you, our appeal record right now is the best it's ever been since I've been on the board. We have had three appeals in the last maybe 5 or 6 years. We have been upheld on all three. Hmm. And there's one of them on the Hillside Avenue. The judges, the two judges that wrote the decision, did a phenomenal job writing that decision. And going through with the board, I've read it, I don't know how many times, and that decision is the decision.
Yeah, and it goes to the reasons that were put on the record. And that's what they look at.
Right.
The attorneys, when they appeal, don't get to rehash the case. It's based on the transcripts and the record of that case.
Well, I remember when I first got on the board, that's what was emphasized to me by whoever was deciding on the board, probably you, Jay. I know that
I'm always,
you know,
about special reasons.
When you give your opinion, particularly if you're going to deny it,
right.
You really need to support that.
Absolutely.
And,
right.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, because it can be very important.
We never know which case is going to be appealed by somebody. So that's why I say in the beginning, I always say, state your reasons on the record, please. That's Mr. Leo over here. He's the guy that gets stuck with it all. So if we do our job, his job's a lot easier.
I think one of the reasons we don't get appeals is because we try to negotiate and work with every applicant that comes in front of the board.
Absolutely.
It's not like one way or the other. You know, you just keep whittling away until you get to a common ground. And once you hit that common ground, both parties should be happy.
Right.
So,
right.
And even when, like, people reach out to myself or the chair or whatever, what do you think about that? Go talk to your neighbors.
Yeah.
go talk to your neighbors.
Right.
Make, have them buy in at least on the majority of it first.
Right.
Because if you're asking for relief, you need to get them, their buy-in. And granted, sometimes neighbors just want to object to something, and they do a lot. But if you can at least show whatever board you're presenting in front of that you've tried that, you know, some neighbors are just a no.
Yeah. No, I think sometimes people don't realize how important the comments from their neighbors are to the board.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that can carry a lot of weight, you know.
It does.
People like to bitch and moan about maybe something that's going on, and if you say to them, well, did you voice your opinion? Did you go to the meeting?
Did you show up?
Did you talk? No.
You've been on the forum recently, haven't you? They don't come here.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
They don't come and talk to us.
They say terrible things.
I know.
It's like almost difficult to not respond. You know, it's like a...
I got off.
There's that rather...
Every time someone says, well, I read that on the forum, like, you know, that's not us, right? That's not the city.
But
we are here. We have our own Facebook. We have our own website. You got questions? You call Beth, Tim, or I. We'll pick up the phone.
So now, one thing I...
It's frustrating. Sorry, go
ahead. One thing that the board, I have to say, as a board, this is probably one of the best boards that I've seen. I mean, between our professionals, our members, we have our commissioners here. We have skills on this board.
You tell us that all the time, Jack.
Mommy?
You say that to us all.
I know that, but
it's all because of the coach.
Well, I don't know about the coach, but...
And Dan's fist on every lot.
But I just have to...
Right.
You just have to say it. Is that the board, it works together. This conversation right now, for example, many boards can't have this conversation. They're too stodgy or whatever the case is. People here, they're willing to get the job done and they know what the task is. And the task is to improve the city and put very viable projects out. Don't kill this stuff. If it's bad, it's bad. It doesn't get approved. If it's good, we can make it better, we do it. And we're doing our job. And land use is always behind it. And always remember that. Land use is your friend. When you approve, land use is your friend. And that's why I always stress reasons. With that, we have to have a resolution to approve. If you can make a resolution,
yeah, please. I circulated Resolution 59 of 2021, which essentially is just a two-page resolution that says we've reviewed the ordinances, we've reviewed Roger's report on the ordinance, we incorporate Roger's report, and the board does find that the ordinance amendments are consistent with our master plan, and we recommend that the governing body adopt.
And I can sign it tonight.
And sign it tonight. So it's a motion to approve Resolution 59-2021. Second.
First, the motion and a second for the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
I think we should do a roll call. Tim and I have to abstain.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote because we're going to have...
I don't think you do.
No? Really?
No, it's just...
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Well, then just do a roll.
Okay, we're going to have... All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. The resolution is hereby adopted. It's a weird thing. Thank you. We may have a resolution for adjournment.
Motion.
Motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Everybody wants to name.
Okay.
You know, I did say.
Aye. Okay.